done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his anger. We were speaking on hope, we could lay last week, we were speaking on the indifferent hope. I thought I would speak further on the subject of indifference, more or less now, narrowing it down to the individual. I don't know a text that expresses indifference more than the text that I've read. If the language, the prophetic language of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. This is such an appropriate subject, such a timely subject, indifferent. The Lord willing, we may speak on it again next Sunday in a prophetic setting. In thinking on the subject of indifference, I ran across the piece of poetry I thought was in keeping with our subject. I am more powerful than the combined armies of the world. I have destroyed more than all the wars of the world. I am more deadly than bullets and have wrecked more homes than the mightiest of siege guns. I steal in the United States alone over $300 million each year. I spare no one and find my victims among the rich and poor alike. Young and old, strong and weak, widows and orphans know me. I loom up to such proportions that I cast my shadows over every field of labor, from the turning of the grindstone to the moving of every train. I massacre thousands upon thousands of wage earners every year. I lurk in unseen places and do most of my work silently. You are warned against me, but heed me not. I am relentless. I am everywhere. In the home, on the street, in the factory, at railroad crossings, on the sea. I bring sickness, degradation, death. And yet few seek to avoid me. I destroy, crush, maim. I give nothing but take all. I am your worst enemy. Who am I? I am indifferent. How do that is? I am carelessness and indifference. We're noticing indifference as to the condition of the American home. As to the cause of that indifference, no interest in spiritual things, the neglect of spiritual things. We've also sought to draw your attention to the consequences of that indifference in your home. More decline, more divorces, more delinquency, more decay, meaning more truth. That is the consequence of indifference. I began thinking of some of the incidents that possibly are clear in your mind where indifference was the cause of a catastrophe. During the last great war, you remember that great British bastion, that mighty fortress, Singapore, the end of the Malayan Peninsula? Of course they thought it was impregnable. No one could crack that fortress. They laughed at the little Japs. Even at their attempt to approach Singapore, it was so mighty, so fortified, so strong. Yes, but Singapore fell. The Japs were creeping down the peninsula, and nightlife was in full swing one night. The air of indifference to the whole situation was tense. The officers, the men in charge, and all the men, having a late time, when all of a sudden it happened, and Singapore fell. What was the real cause of its fall? The overwhelming strength of the Japs? The weakening of the fortress? No. What were all the guns? Why all this huge armament? These fortresses? They mean nothing if they're manned by it. Indifference, the cause of Singapore's fall. Think of Jonah. Here is Jonah, he's running away from God. He goes down to the chop and he goes down to the side of the ship and he falls asleep. Down in the bottom of the ship and the ship in those days were not like the ones today. And here is Jonah sleeping on that ship's bottom. Only a fight between him and eternity, and he's asleep. Absolutely indifferent to the fact that a storm is raging and God's after him, but he's sleeping the slumber of indifference, and only a plank between him and eternity. Today there are men and women with only a breath between them and meeting God and an indifference of us. Indifference. Think of a case of Phoenix. As the Apostle Paul reasoned of righteousness, tolerance, and judgment to come, what about this man of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? This man, Felix, says, when I have a convenient seat, I'll call for you. He was indifferent as to the serious issues at stake. I think of another man, Gallio. The Bible says, you may read it over in the Acts, Gallio cared for none of these things. He was a deputy, and one of God's servants, Sosthenes, was brought before him, and Gallio looked at him, and he looked at the Jews who had brought him. Why, he said, if it were something concerning your law, I'd pay some attention to you, but if it's concerning some name or something of that kind, I care for none of these things. It was something that had to do with one of God's servants, and he cared for none of these things, and he throws them before the test. He cared for none. Think of the case in Matthew 22 where you have the marriage of the king's son, and the king's son has to be the son of God. The invitation is given to the marriage, and you read these words, they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They made light of it, the Bible. An invitation to the marriage of the king's son. They made light of it. They laughed it off. They were indifferent about it. They went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. I'm too busy making a living. I'm too interested in my body. I'm no time about my soul. Indifferent as to the spiritual need. And you know what happened to those people, don't you? Well, God's wrath overtook them, and they were destroyed. Indifferent. As I talked with another text in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect or are careless and indifferent about so great a salvation? One time I heard of a man, he was a big businessman, he climbed fast, he had gained much, head of a huge business. But then he thought, well, I'm going to have a good time now, I've made lots of money and I've got a big business, and he turned a lot of it over to his manager. He still had an office. Things weren't going too well after a few months. Manager came in, he says, you know, sales are off. Things are not looking good. Just can't keep up. Oh, he said, it's okay, okay. And he just brushed it off, and he even got provoked when the manager would come in and start showing him the situation of the business. So what? That was his response. So what? You ever hear that expression today? It's the expression of indifference. So what? I've got to die, so what? I've got to meet God, so what? I've got to spend eternity somewhere, so what? Indifference. The result was, in the case I'm referring to, the customers were not considered. Product declined and his business collapsed around him. Only a matter of a year and a half. One move. It's a slow walk. I'm going to have a big time. I'm going to enjoy myself. I need it to the ice walk. And he walked everywhere. I mentioned last week that there's something more deadly increasing steadily upon our country than radioactive fallout. That is the deadly tale of indifference that is descending upon our It's coming more swiftly, more rapidly than radioactive fallout. Indifference! I don't care! You see that spirit among the young people. What indifference? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This adolescent age, young people standing around, they don't care where they work. They don't care what they do. They don't like to be spoken to. They don't like to be given orders. They don't like to be corrected. There they are. Just indifferent to things that are serious and solemn. Just an air of complete indifference. In our text, we have the prophetic and pathetic expression of evil. Grief over indifference about the person of Christ. He says it is nothing. Is it absolutely nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Imagine the Lord Jesus referring to those in his day. And he sees their indifference, and he says it is nothing to you. Christ can use this language prophetically on the cross. Is it nothing to you people around the cross? Is it nothing to you who pass by wagging your head? Is it nothing to you all you that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Wherewith God hath afflicted me? He says, here I am suffering for your sin. All we like sheep have gone astray, we turned everyone to his own way, but God hath laid upon me, upon Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. I'm suffering beneath the hand of an almighty God. His hand is heavy upon me. He's making to meet upon me all your iniquities. And the Lord is pleasing him to bruise me. He's putting me to grief. I'm dying for your sin. And what's your reaction? You pass by. Is it nothing to you that I'm dying in your stead? Is it nothing to you that I'm suffering for your sin? Is it nothing to you that I'm facing God in your place with your sin, that you might not have to face God with your own sins in the day to come? Is it nothing to you? Doesn't seem to mean anything to people today. Is it nothing to you here this morning, for the human heart is the same today as it was then? Is the sufferings of Jesus Christ nothing to you? Do they not mean a thing? Don't you give it a thought? Don't you offer him a tear? Is it nothing to you? Pass by, no time. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Mind you the man who was robbed on the Jericho road, there he is in the gutter, bleeding and dying. The long chain of priests, and he passed by on the other side. He was indifferent. Along came a Levite, and he also passed by on the other side. The man in the ditch, bleeding and dying, could say that nothing to you. Are you not interested? Do you offer no help? Is it nothing to you that I'm in the predicament I'm in? Is it nothing to you? Lord Jesus would say that. Is it nothing to you people that I have been apprehended an innocent man, falsely accused, falsely tried, mocked and spit upon, a crown of thorns placed on my head, a cast off robe of royalty placed on my bleeding back, with a Roman lash made my back like an island of ivory in a sea of blood? You could see my bones through the torn flesh. Is it nothing to you that I suffered that, and I did it all for you? Is it nothing to you? You go right on your way, pass me by, no time to think, no time to inquire, no time to seek, no time to accept. Is it nothing to you? Nothing. Not important enough to give it 5 minutes serious consideration? It's not important enough today for people to give God 1 hour a week out of 176. God gives you 175 hours a week. You can't give him one. What indifference? Oh, tell of indifference of settling down upon our country. Yes, it did nothing to you all, ye that passed by. And here dying on this cross with you, you heed it not. Right on your way, too busy making money, too busy having a good time, too busy planning your future. Because of indifference, your path is in the mess that it's in. That's it. Indifference to the claims of Jesus Christ. Can't you say honestly, some of you, like the poet has said, years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, or caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. There you have the language of indifference. Listen to it again. That lovely hymn. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Wouldn't you like to change that this morning to the last verse of that lovely hymn? What does it say? Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Would you like to do that? What a change in the difference now to serious concern. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. When I was in New Smyrna Beach about a month ago, I heard about it just before I left here. The Harding home told me over the phone about that accident. Walter Thompson, a man I've heard about for many years, got to know when I went down to New Smyrna Beach. He had a lovely wife, the two of them, that's all they had. No children, no relatives. That's all they had, each other, to live for. Lovely Christian. He had an office over in the big new shopping center. He was secretary to the owner of the shopping center. And his wife used to work with him from the hotel. Each day, walk with him over to the shopping center and then walk back alone. He was staying in his office. About 2 blocks away, I've been in the office many times. On our way back this day, she was crossing over at the corner of the block where the hotel is. The automobile was coming down there. He left his tire mark for 45 feet and knocked her 90 feet after he hit her. Didn't know what to do. Harding said he immediately phoned over to the office and said, Mr. Thompson, you better go to the hospital. Your wife's in the hospital. Oh, no, it's not my wife. I just left her. He hung up. Phoned back. They said, you better go to the hospital. Your wife isn't. When he got there, she was dead. I arrived the day after the funeral, about a month ago. As I met him in the lobby of the hotel, he didn't speak. He said, as a good my hand, he said nothing. I tried to speak. He was coming to me. He took me out and walked up the street to the corner. And I looked ahead of him. I saw over just about 2 feet from the curb, a big black spot in sand about it. I thought that's what he got. He hadn't said a word. And he got level with it, dropped it. He broke into tears with that. He couldn't go a step further. I said, is that where she was killed? Turned around, he came back, and he was able to speak. Brother Wilson, I haven't been able to pass that spot. When I get in my car to go to work, instead of going over there, I go down the block. I can't stop it. The next day I got in my car, I found I went past. I thought about it. You can't pass the spot. Look, all the traffic that goes up and down. Cars swishing by. Even though a woman was killed right on that spot to drive just this fast, he could stand right at that spot and say, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Here's where I lost my loved one. Here's where I lost my all. And you care nothing. My heart was broken here. Oh, yes, that spot of blood means nothing to you. That's what Jesus Christ said. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you that here's where I died at Calvary? Here's where I shed my blood? Here's where I was killed for your sin? Is it nothing to you? Can't you even slow down from your pace of living and consider what happened here at Calvary? Is it nothing to you? God could say to this world, is it nothing to you? It was here where my son, my only son, died, shed his blood for you. Is it nothing to you? But I thought on that incident, Mr. Thompson going up and couldn't pass Jesus back. Let me tell you something, Christian. Calvary stops every one of us. That's where every Christian stops. It was here where Jesus died. Would to God that we could break into tears more often and our eyes be moistened. But here's where a loved one died, one who loved me more than a mother, who loved me more than a father. He loved me so much he laid down his life for me. Are Christians getting so careless and so indifferent they go right on by the cross, they hear about it, and it doesn't seem to alarm them or arouse them or stir them? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow? As the traffic go up and down past that spot, it still takes its place to mountain. It always will be, I'll never forget. Yet the traffic of the world, they don't even stop, don't even think. If you were to stop someone and ask them, what do you think happened there? What does that spot mean? I don't know. Maybe somebody got to say, yeah, they stopped. Well, on the road. Nothing there. The mother got killed, it means nothing to me. Their wife got killed, it means nothing. Talk to the world about the death of Jesus Christ. That happened last time here. It doesn't sink in, doesn't register, doesn't affect their hearts, just because they don't know. They don't know. All who knew Mrs. Thompson around that old tale cried. They do. Let me tell you, those who know Jesus Christ not affected with penalty were denied. But the world thinks nothing of it. They're indifferent to it. Is it nothing to you, says the Lord Jesus, as I hang upon this cross dripping with my old blood, dying for you, is it nothing to you? Does the world mean more? You pass me by with no concern whatsoever. Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see. There be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Who is the Lord of the afflict me in the day of his fierce anger? And there be no sorrow like the sorrow of the Son of God. He's called the man of sorrow. When I think of it, the world is in such a rush today. It's indifferent to what happened in heaven. Who are you? Some of you will listen to me this morning, go out of this meeting, and forget all about it the time you get home. I might as well talk about this for a moment. What registering? Showing a heart that be indifferent with a human heart. If you weren't indifferent, you wouldn't forget what I'm telling you this morning until you come to the cross. You come reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. Then you say, what must I do to be saved? I wished I knew that someone in his audience were asking that question. With all his or her heart, what must I do to be saved? First of all, admit that you're lost, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You're lost, you're ungodly, you're a sinner, you're an enemy against God. That's what your Bible says. You're wise if you submit to that. Say, well, God says it is true. Don't be indifferent to your condition before God. You're lost. Don't be indifferent to the fact either that you're helpless. You've got to admit that you are helpless. By grace are ye saved through faith, and have not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a work that any man should do. I sometimes wonder just what impressions my preaching do make. I'm afraid very little. For instance, there's been a party coming to hear me preach over a year, or 6 or 7 years. Time. A member of her family was sick in the hospital today, and he's facing death. But she said he was a good man. He was. He was a good man. Friend, being a good man won't take anybody to heaven. Being a good woman won't take anybody to heaven. Why have I preached? What was she listening to? And I said, according to that text, by grace are ye saved through faith, and have none of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man do. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved. And to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's not what I am, it's not what I do that saves me. It's what Jesus Christ did for me at hell. How indifferent people seem to be to these facts. So you admit you're lost, you admit you're helpless. Let me tell you something. If you could get to heaven by your good life and your good works, then the death of Jesus Christ is a tragedy. It means nothing. Why did God give his son to die and man to be his own savior and save himself? When man could do nothing to save himself, he was helpless, he was lost. But God gave his son to die. Third thing God wants you to do is to admit you're willing. Lord, I'm willing to be saved. Like the prodigal, he said, I will arise. I'll go. Are you willing to believe God's word? You're born again by the word of God according to 1 Peter 1:23. You're born again by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It tells you in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Chapter 3 and verse 18, Christ also at once suffered for sins, he that just for me, the unjust, who might bring me to God. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement with a view to my having peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. What Jesus did on the cross, I am saved. That's the only way you can be saved. Believe God's word. Accept God's gift. Jesus Christ, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only believe God's word, not only accept God's gift, confess God's Son, the Lord Jesus. According to Romans 10:9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. Confess God's Son. Then you'll possess God's salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. From the 1 John 5:12. John 5:24, verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but is passed from death to life. How wonderful. Believe God's word, accept God's gift, confess God's Son, possess God's salvation, and enjoy God's presence and health and life. And enjoy his heaven. That's God's salvation. Are you going to take it in, or once again, brush it off? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to be saved? Yes. Okay. I'm going to add a word. Do you want to be saved now? Well, now that adds something to it. That is another color. I want to be saved. Lord, I want to be saved right now. Why don't you say yes? Yes, the Lord. say readily, yes, at this very minute, this very moment, Lord, I'm not going to pass you by. I'm not going to ignore your sufferings any longer. I've been indifferent up to this moment, but no more. The rush of life has kept me from getting down to this. Lord, I'm going to put on the brakes this morning. I'm going to come to a stop right at Calvary. I'm going to accept. I'll no longer be indifferent. I'll take you right now as my Savior. Will you do that? Let me ask you another question. Maybe the Lord is asking you this question. Will you go up to the front after and confess to me before men? Well, now the question mark begins coming in your mind. Maybe you're not quite that interested yet. The Lord says, I'll ask you another question. Will you come back tonight? Get it settled tonight. You hear more about it tonight. Well, Lord, you know, we have a favorite TV program we're accustomed to listening to or seeing. People don't go to church on Sunday night. You're not ready to be saved. When the Lord is not impressed, you're still indifferent.
If you really meant business and wanted to be saved, you'd come out until you got saved.
Years ago, when we used to have campaigns like you can't have them now, I preached anywhere from 6 weeks to 15 weeks. Most of my campaigns were 8 weeks. I've known people to come out Sunday morning, Sunday night, and every weeknight until they got saved.
They were in Greensboro, I went on for 15 weeks. Four ladies got saved the Thursday night of the 15th week, and they haven't missed a night.
They meant this. Friend, you're not impressing God. God's got to save. God means business, and he'll save you when he sees you mean business. That's it. Otherwise, it's more or less indifferent. I wonder if you're going to settle this year. Business consultant at Louisville, Kentucky, was negotiating a sizable deal with a New York firm. With repeated inquiries, didn't seem to do any good. It went unanswered. But in desperation, he sent off a wire. The wire was, Dear Sirs, Friends. After a few of the hours, a wire came back, Dear Sir, Sue. Now, he may have got some encouragement out of that. But soon is not soon enough with God. God says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not for a day.
Amen. What? Well, God wants an answer right now. Not tomorrow. You mean business? Send it this morning. Otherwise, God's not in place.
Our text says, Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?
They pass you by now. Well, Philip Upton will pass you by at 8 times. That's the shield. You may pass him by. That's your privilege. But remember, it will be his privilege in a day to come to pass you.
Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow. Like unto my sorrow, the Lord has afflicted me in the day of Jesus.
It's your privilege to say no. I don't want the Lord Jesus this morning. It'll be his privilege in that day to say no, I don't want it. She didn't want me when I wanted her, and I don't want her now that she wants me. That's possible.
You're indifferent to Jesus Christ this morning. Do you blame him if he's indifferent to you in the day to come?
The sin of indifference. These things people forget. You who are indifferent to these things, if death end or end at all, I ask you to get to the deathbeds of those who died without Christ. You who make light of hell and the lake of fire.
I'm not speaking in terms of today where the doctors are able to stupefy the patient days in advance of death and they don't know when they're dying.
I go back to days when there are books written on, when people were not under sedation. They were not doped when they faced death. Many of them died in their sins, and I'll tell you, you could take yourself to some of those bedsides, as many preachers had to, and look at the frightened look on that person's face, and hear the cry of others, "I'm lost, I'm lost," as they sink into eternity. I'll tell you one thing, then, it will change your mind about this question of God's salvation. Then it is that dread realities are seeing the cries of unutterable despair, because the realities are being faced and soon to be experienced. The serious state, indifference and hell, blame souls every day. You may be the next. I ask you this morning to come to Christ and come to Him right now. Don't run the risk of losing your soul and losing your breath. Can you ignore and be indifferent to the language of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? He looks at you out of those eyes, sinking in their sockets and soon to be closed in death, and Jesus Christ with pierced hands and pierced feet and wounded side. So there's nothing to you. All you that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me. Day of excusing. I wonder what your response is this morning. Are you going on still in there? Or are you going to call a halt to you before death comes? Face the fact that you come to Jesus. He loves you, died to save you, to do all He can to put your sins away. I trust you will break with the tide of indifference that's keeping the world. Leave the crowd that's gripped in its grasp. Say, "Well, I'm not going to be any longer indifferent. The issues are too serious. I've come to Christ for a good decision." God grant you will. You make His heart happy. Your own soul will fill with joy. We'll rejoice with you, and heaven will celebrate with its joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Will you be that one sinner this morning? Or if you say in your heart, "I will," give Jesus Christ the nod that He looked at you this morning. Says it has nothing to you. Say, "Yes, Lord, it means everything to me. I'm going to accept you as my Savior. I'm going to do it now." God grant that you will. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before Thee. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the message You present. For how our hearts are saddened as we think of the indifference of the human heart passing by a suffering Savior, brushing aside these solemn facts, the Savior's love, the Savior's call. We trust that some this morning will stop and think. O Father, we pray Thee, by Thy Holy Spirit, bring an end to the indifference of human heart. May someone today accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved for time, saved for eternity. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.